We've been talking about the operation of the seven spirits of God. We've been talking about the operation of the golden lampstand. We've been talking about the operation of the seven eyes of the Lord that go to and fro all the earth. Say all the earth. Let's say the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, in every place. There's no place they're not. There's no geographical place that the eyes of the Lord are not in. Also go eternity past, present, future. The Bible says God inhabiteth, say inhabiteth, eternity, and the eyes of the Lord inhabiteth eternity. You're going to get a brand new revelation of that. There is an operation of what we term as the seven eyes, seven spirits of God, omnipresence. Say omnipresence. It's God's omnipresence, omniscience. God's all-knowing omniscience and omnipotent dominion. How these particular operations work. The Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me about the seven eyes of the Lord. And this is a major function of the last day church, which we'll be getting into, where the seven spirits of God are released from heaven into all the earth in a brand new way. It's a brand new function. It's not new, but it's new from where we are, from our standpoint. And God is doing a new thing. We looked at the Apostle Paul when he said what he said, I was absent in body, but with you. In spirit, joying and beholding your order. This is a function of what we call omnipresence, omniscience. We looked at Elisha. We looked at John G. Lake, very powerful operation. He's a modern day apostle in the 20s, and how God would take him in what he would call spirit excursions into Africa. Listen, I want to take the spookiness out of this operation. I want to show you how available this is to us in this hour. One of the things that's going to mark the last day church is our capacity to operate as joint heirs. And under the influence of the seven spirits of God, which is the person of the Holy Spirit, under the influence of omniscience, God is going to do some amazing things with his people. Amen. And so we're going to look at this in a much greater detail now. When I thought I had it, I had half of it, and he gave me the rest of it. Really powerful. This operation is going to take mammon down. I've seen it. The Lord showed it to me, and I'm not talking about little things. I'm talking about big things. Amen? Sometime when God, it seems like you're being denied certain things, other people have certain things easy. Listen, God wants to train and teach you. He wants to teach us and train us. If he makes things easy, you're never going to learn the way he wants you to learn. Amen. We're in the school of the Spirit right now, and we're in a very powerful place, and God is intent on moving some major mountains. We're going to have to do it God's way with the weaponry that God has provided for us. It's time for the church to become supernatural. Amen. To operate in the supernatural. We have to understand how these operations work, where they work from. And it's not just enough to have one person operating in it. We have to understand. That's part of my calling, is to map it out. How does it work? How does omniscience work? How does omnipresence work? How does time habitation work? How does omnipotent dominion work? Where does it work from? Can a believer tap into it? Or does it just belong to an Elisha or a Paul or a John G. Lake? All of these forerunners were forerunners for a last day church where God's going to take a global army, and they're all going to operate in the fullness of this. It's part of the thing that's going to mark those that ride the white horse. It's going to mark as the seven spirits of God are going to be with the church. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 says, I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me, a great voice as of a trumpet. And then he sees the Lord Jesus in a glorified state, and the Lord reveals to him why he appeared to him. In verse 12, he says, I have turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. And verse 20, and he goes on to talk about this, and he sees him in this feet with bronze feet and this whole thing. And in verse 20, he says, this is the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw is in my hand, and the mystery of the seven golden candlesticks. And the seven stars are the messengers to the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks, which you saw, are the seven churches. So the first revelation John gets of the golden lampstand is the seven churches. And he gets this from the Lord Jesus. Now I want you to notice, and he gets the first three chapters of this revelation from the Lord Jesus, and he gives them in a form of a prophetic message. And he's in the Spirit, very important, say in the Spirit, when he gets this. And God shows him, but mostly what he's getting a prophetic message to the seven churches, an admonition, rebukes, encouragement, but it's a message to the messengers of the seven churches. And that goes all the way to the end of chapter 3. That's important. Okay, chapter 4, everything shifts. In the entire book, the remainder of the book of the Revelations is downloaded from chapter 4, verse 1. So he gets the revelation of the seven churches, which is a message. It's very important because everything shifts by the time he moves to Revelation chapter 4, 1. The whole operation shifts. And this is what I was rolling around. I'm like, why did this happen like this? Now notice this. Watch this. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. He says, after that I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, as it were a trumpet talking with me, NIV says, is the voice I had first heard speaking to me as a trumpet. The same voice of chapter 1 he hears in chapter 4. The voice of the trumpet. Same Lord speaking from a different place. He calls him up into another place. But notice in verse 2, he said, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things to come hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. So these two verses started going off in my spirit. In chapter 1, he's in the Spirit. In chapter 4, he's in the Spirit. But he's in a different place in the Spirit in chapter 4 than he was in chapter 1. So, well, what difference does it make? It's huge. Because it was a different operation and a different message. But not just the message, it was a different operation, as we're going to find out all together. In chapter 1, the Lord's standing there in a glorified state, and he gives him the revelation of the seven churches, but it was a word to them, a word of admonition, a word of encouragement, a word of rebuke. And he went down all through the three chapters, and he gave them that word. When chapter 4 comes, everything changes. He gets called up, same in the Spirit, because this is where these words are delivered, but he is called up into a door, say a door, that's opened in heaven. And it is from that position, in that door, he sees the remainder of the book. I'm like, why didn't he give him the book like that? I mean, he was in the Spirit in chapter 1, so why couldn't he just get chapter 4, verse, chapter 4 through 22? Why couldn't he just get it like that? He was in the Spirit, right? He's in the Spirit in chapter 4. Why does he have to have a door open? Because the entire operation by which he receives this word changes. I can't believe we didn't see this before. How long have we been preaching on this? I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sitting there in my chair. I'm like, what, Lord, what? Sometimes God likes to get you up like that because your slate is cleared. You don't have anything going on. Amen? And he'd already downloaded a lot that day on Saturday. But when I'm sitting there at 3 o'clock in the morning this morning, he spoke this to me. I said, what's the difference? He said, the difference was John was there. I'm like, what? He said, John was there. I said, well, John was where? He said, John was there. And then it hit me. I'm like, oh. And I went through the entire book of Revelation from 3 till 6 this morning. He said, he entered in to the very operation that all my last day church will operate in. Now, we have been preaching on this, but I promise you, we haven't seen it like this. And the first thing he did is he took chapter 4. What happened? Notice what happened in chapter 4. Are you ready? So he said, behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard, as were a trumpet talking with me, the same trumpet of chapter 1, and he said, come up hither. He had to move from the position of spirit he was in chapter 1 to a different place, because it was a different operation by which he was going to receive. Because he wasn't just going to receive the prophetic word, he was going to live in that word. Walk in that word. It's going to hit you in a minute. Trust me. This is probably the single greatest operation of omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotent dominion, time habitation that I've ever seen. Case in point. The first thing he sees the throne. He sees the elders, he sees the four beasts, he sees the seven spirits of God, he sees the entire procession of chapter 4, which should be attached to chapter 5. He sees the opening of the door to the church of Philadelphia, which I'll get to in a minute. He sees chapter 4, chapter 5, and he begins to interact in chapter 5. What century was John born in? What century was the Apostle John born in? First century. That's 2,000 years ago, right? John is walking and interacting in an event that hasn't even happened yet. He's not just seeing the word, he's operating and walking in the event, interacting with people that hasn't even happened yet, but he gets called up into eternity. And he gets moved forward 2,000 years into an event that hasn't even happened yet. And he begins not only to see it, but he interacts with it. He becomes one of the actual people in the event. When I was looking at that, I'm like, are you kidding me? All the times I've seen this, all the times I've been over this, watch this. What's the first thing he sees? Chapter 5, chapter 6. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat in a book. Now, John's seeing this in the first century, an event that still hasn't happened yet, right? He sees, I see a book in the right hand, and they couldn't find a man. Open the book, said, who's worthy to open the book? Watch John. He's not just seeing, he's participating in a state of intercession. Watch what happens in verse 4. And I wept, John, he was there. That's what the Lord said. Son, do you understand? He was there. His body was on the Isle of Patmos. His spirit was moved 2,000 years in front. Not only was he there watching it, he was witnessing it. He was interacting with it. They were talking to him. There are elders that spoke to John about an event that hasn't even happened yet. As though it did happen. Because he's operating in the very thing. I'm like, look at this. I get excited about this because this is our operation. Because God's going to use his church to fast forward them into future. With omnipresence, he's going to take us under the influence of the seven spirits of God like he did John. He's going to plop us down in the future. And by the omniscience of God, he's going to download the position. And from that downloadable position, we will wage a warfare that the enemy has no defense for. Because we'll wage it from a position that's called done. And we'll come back into the jurisdiction that we live in with the information, the revelation of a future event, and we'll exercise omnipotent dominion. And the mountains will tremble! This lampstand is the word of the Lord under Zerubbabel, saying not by might, not by power, but this operation of my seven spirits. He said, I wept much. John went into intercession. He wept. He was there. The Spirit of the Lord kept saying he was there, son. He wasn't just watching, he was there. He was interacting. It's one thing to see something. It's a whole nother thing to be there. The first three chapters he saw and he was given a word. He wasn't interacting with those churches. He was giving them the word. That's why he was in the spirit in the first three, in chapter one, to deliver the word to the seven churches. He was just delivering a word. By chapter four come along, God transported him into an end time event that hasn't even happened yet. What capacity do we have in our human spirit that's been born in the image of God to be transported 2,000 years in front? Not even Daniel was transported. He just saw it. John was transported. They turned him around the book of Revelation. They turned him into these events. It just blew me out to see this. Watch this. He goes, I wept much because there was no man found worthy to open the book. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, John. Do you understand? An elder spoke to him. He, 2,000 years later, in an event that we hadn't even entered into yet. This event has not happened yet. And the elder of that event spoke to him 2,000 years ago, but spoke to him in front. Talking to him, weep not. The Lamb has prevailed to open the book. And they open the book and he watches them open the book. And then that wasn't all. Chapter 6 comes along. And one of the beasts. What are those four beasts? Those wild beasts that stand before the throne. Those, you know, say, holy, holy, holy. They start touring him. In chapter 6, they tour him. Notice what they do. Chapter 6, verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, he saw and heard, as if it were the noise of thunder and of the four beasts saying, one of the four beasts saying, come with me and see. Come with me and interact. John, you're not just seeing this, you're here, beholding it, watching it, interacting with it. He sees the white horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse. When I saw that, I said, how many more times? And I only caught a few. There's probably a whole lot more. I went through the whole book of Revelation just really fast, but I want to see all the times he was interacting. He was there. Say, he was there. Look at the power of that. What if God transports us? Do you understand when you're armed with the knowledge of the future in this way, the enemy has no defense? It's one of the very things that's going to cause the effectiveness of the church to rise at unprecedented levels. They're going to be operating under the influence of the seven spirits of God. They're not going to step out and find out, oh, I missed it. How many of you ever done that on a financial decision? This looked great, looked awesome, stepped out. It was awesome for 3 months, awesome for 6 months, and then it shifted. What if you move 6 months in advance and saw it? Not only saw it, lived in it, functioned in it. When John G. Lake talked about his testimony, when God would take him in, he called, he came under the influence. God said, I sent him as a forerunner of your generation. God would take him into Africa as a little boy and he would start downloading. His spirit man would come into Africa and we'd download the political arena, the financial arena, the state of the church, the state of the politics, the state of the financial. He would show them and he would take his spirit into the future and show him. The whole west coast of Africa, the commercial seaports would be developed there. And he saw the World War I there and the outcome of the war all before he ever got there. Understood the political spectrum of the very mission field he was laboring in. Understood the financial spectrum and the religious spectrum. See, we understood all of this before he got there. You're talking about effectiveness. We operate a lot of times. We call it faith, but it's a lot of times blindness. Because we're not empowered to see the way God wants us to see. And this is what the seven eyes of the Lord are going to do, is give us the capacity to see. There's not one time you ever could catch the Lord off guard. He saw it before it always happened. You go, they're not 12 hours in a day. I walk by the light. I do not stumble. Not one time did he ever stumble. Not once. Come and see. Say, come and see. Look at Revelation 7, verse 9. John interacts with the elder concerning the great harvest of souls. He sees the harvest of the soul, and the elder starts talking about. He says, what are these, John? They're talking to him in an event that has, the harvest of souls hasn't even taken place yet. The 7-year tribulation hasn't even taken place yet. And yet John's seeing the souls. He's there, and the elder goes, what are these? And John says, I don't know. You knowest. He's talking to somebody about an event that even took place. He goes, this is the great harvest of souls that will come out of the great tribulation. And he's talking to him about it. He takes him into Revelation 17. He said he was carried away in the spirit, and he saw the great harlot, Mystery Babylon, and they talked to him about it. In Revelation 21, he sees the bride. He's carried away in the spirit, and he's interacting with all of this. And I'm thinking, wow. We were looking at places like where Elisha said to Gehazi when he went and chased after Naaman's money, he goes, did not my spirit go with you? I was there, Elisha. Elisha said to Gehazi, I was there. You're going to hide it from me? I was there. Everyone say, I was there. We're looking at Paul seeing the state of the church in his hour under the apostolic mantle of the seven spirits of God, and he's receiving the download, joying, beholding the order. We're looking at John G. Lake, but we're looking at John here. We're looking at him transcend 2,000 years. I mean, think about the culture he was in and get transported 2,000 years talking to these guys in heaven and seeing events in technology of our day, trying to describe what an atomic bomb's going to look like when it says the heavens open like a scroll in the clouds. That's atomic bomb. He sees a nuclear war. He tries to describe, he says, these big caterpillars. I think he's describing a helicopter. He doesn't know what a helicopter is. He's in the first century. He interacts with all this. He's living and dwelling and talking to the events, making intercession with the rest of them in chapter 5. I'm like, oh, Lord, what capacity do we have? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said he went through the door. And he goes, do you know what that door was? What's the first thing he saw? Chapter 4, chapter 5. He saw the lampstand, the operation of the lampstand. Chapter 6, the running of the white horse. He saw the entire inheritance of the church of Philadelphia. Look at Revelation chapter 3. There's only three doors mentioned in the book of Revelation. Two of them are in chapter 3, one of them is chapter 4. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has what? A key. What does he say? He says, key to the house of David. He openeth, and no man shutteth. He shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, say, behold, I've set before you an open door. Because the first thing I said, God, get me through this door. If he's showing me something, he's showing me this because I know it's our operation. And the first thing I said, I want that door with John. Give me that door. Open that door. He goes, I've already set it open. What do you think? What door do you think John walked through? I set before thee an open door. Now, we always look at that like, oh, God's, because we're always earthly minded, right? God's going to open a door for me here that no man's going to give me an effectual door to go preach somewhere. Give me an effect. God's saying, I have a better door than that. I'll open a door for you in the heavenly realm that might be a little different than the realm you've been receiving from. Some of you are in the spirit receiving. God said, listen, you have maxed out your receiving capabilities of where you are. Just like John could not receive chapter 4 through 22 from where he was in chapter 1. He had to go up into another door because that door was not just a seeing door. That door was the door of time habitation where his spirit was called up to dwell, to operate. Somebody say amen. To interact in a time and a dimension he was not even in. Isn't that glorious? Talking to people that are in heaven, seeing events that we are preaching about right now that hadn't even happened yet. And John not only has seen it, he's interacted. He was walking in it. Come and see. What do you think about this, John? What do you think about these souls? I don't know. He's being escorted into events that haven't even happened yet. Call it quantum gravity, time habitation, omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotent dominion, our capacity to be influenced by the seven spirits of God. You are not just a natural being. You're a spiritual being that can possess the divine intelligence of God. And God is going to show us some things. And he says, I set before you, Church of Philadelphia, an open door. What does he have? I have the key to the house of David. Now this church, unlike the other seven, he sees, he's caught up into this door, and the first thing he sees is the function and operation of this church, which we've preached into many times. I'm telling you, we're about to take down a massive stronghold of mammon. This was a treasury key, by the way. It opened a treasury door. Come up in here to the room of treasuries and I'll show you things to come. If you see events, financial events in a future state, not only do you see it, but the thing the Holy Spirit is majoring on now is not only are you going to see it, this kind of training, God is preparing us to run with. Amen? That's why we're going to be so effective. He says, I set before you an open door. That's not just a door here. That's one up there. The same kind that John went through, but we get access to the treasury rooms of God. Amen. Now, I want you to see something. Notice what he sees in chapter, verse 20. In Revelation 3, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Notice what he says, verse 20, I will come into him. See, first door he's standing at is the door of your heart. He said, I'm going to stand at the door of your heart and I'm going to knock. If any man openeth that door, I will come in and dine with you. Before you're going to dine with him up there, he has to dine with you. What is dining? Meat, drink. He's going to deliver you because there's no way you're going to go dine with him up there until he dines with you here. He has to deliver you the revelations and the meat by which you can go dine with him. He goes, I will dine with him and he will dine with me where I am. Say, I will dine with you where you are. That's where everybody's at. God, come and dine with me. Come and dine. Come and dine. He goes, my purpose of coming to dine where you are is to get you out of this jurisdiction and into the one that's going to make you supernatural, effective. He said, I've come to teach you to come to where I am. I'll dine with you where you are so you can dine with me where I am. Because if you dine with me where I am, you're not going to be effective. You're going to be limited as long as you have the mentality, God, come and dine with me. Because if he can't get us out of operating like mere humans, we're never going to function as joint heirs. And you do not function as joint heirs here. You function as a joint heir with him there. Raised together. Made to sit together. Amen. The purpose of him dining with us here is to get us to where He is so He can set before us an open door. Amen? This, by the way, is what wisdom was trying to do. In chapter 8, those of you that are here Wednesday night, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Chapter 8, chapter 9, I got caught up in these chapters. They became living and breathing, and the Holy Spirit was interpreting these chapters. I went down through them. He goes, I will speak of excellent things. He said, that's not what that means. The Holy Spirit said, He goes, that means I will speak kingly things. I was in the Spirit, and I had my iPad at the same time trying to confirm what He's saying, and it said princely things. Oh, it did. It said that. It said it. He said, I give the knowledge, the witty invention. He goes, that's not only the witty invention, but the evil machinations of man, the machinations of mammon. He goes, I give the knowledge of all of it. I show the good. I'll take you in to the good things. And I'll also take you right into mammon strongholds. And he said it. He used that word machination to me. And I looked it up, and that's what it meant. What did he mention? Make a machination. Inventions of mammon. Inventions of the world. He goes, wisdom says, I, wisdom, stand in the top. Say the top. Where does she? She doesn't sit in the midst. She stands in the top of the high places. In fact, she says, I stand on the top of the high place. When she calls, she says, I stand in the highest place of the city. When the harlot calls, she stands in the high places. You'll see both invitations in chapter 9. Wisdom calls you to her table. She says, I stand on the top of the high places. The harlot will call you to her table. She stands in the high places. Seeking to intercept the heirs of the last day church. Because when she offers something, wisdom sitteth as a queen, the harlot sits as a harlot. When the harlot offers something, it's all to keep you from ever operating the way God had called you to operate. I heard somebody on television, I didn't recognize this person, but he said that God had called them into this global fast, and they were all fasting and praying for one thing, to see the true manifestation of the sons and joint heirs of God, to see a people literally walking in the fullness of this Bible, not just preaching it, walking in the fullness in the operations that were designed for us to operate in. Because what happens in our journey in fulfilling the will of God, we get intercepted, but we don't know we're getting intercepted. We start settling. You know how many times that we had a capacity to settle? One time God just had to help us out and said, you are building the entire wrong way. And he allowed something to come in to cut the tree down. He said, I did you a favor. I'm like, that took me 4 years to get over. Thank you. He goes, I did you a favor. Because you were building something that was completely off base from what I called you to do. God, what happens is we start moving with God and we get intercepted. See, we don't know we're getting intercepted. And we start getting into good things to replace the very God thing. And if we don't have the eyes to see, and if we're not integrated in the light, will your eye be singly minded, interwoven into Christ? Alpha. That word be single means alpha. That thine eye be alpha, interwoven with the alpha, Christ. If your eye is not interwoven, you won't have the light to see. You'll get intercepted. If you get intercepted, you start operating in mixture. Stuff that's good, but it'll never have these kind of impacts. God wants a bridal company with impact that's going to ride victorious. And to do that, we will have to be armed with weaponry that's not of this world. We'll have to operate from a heavenly position. So few are even preaching it anymore. It's too easy to build without it. We don't have the impact, the power. All that we're looking for. I'm like, God, I want this door. He said, son, I've already opened that door. it belongs to the Last Day Church. I said, how do I get in there? He goes, how did you get into any of them? I already said it. I opened this door because you have kept my word. Take this word with everything else and hold it there until you find that door. You find the things of the Spirit by holding the word, and until it opens that up. Told Anna, said, I am going to preach this today. I am not here to build a church of milk. I am here to deliver meat, and we're going to keep delivering until we can function in what we see. There, I promise you, there are times I get tapped out. I'm like, I'm tapped out. God, of all the stuff you showed us, we're still not functioning, but we're still there. Because I have this preacher friend in Detroit. He goes, man, he goes, how do you keep doing that? I'm like, it's not me that's doing this. I said, but there's just something in me that has to apprehend. I can't just go build something. I have to find something. It's just an insatiable desire. But sometimes you hit this plateau and you're just like, you're tapped out. And it's like, I was there. And all of a sudden, when you get to that point, you go back in. You take all that you had little strength. You take all the strength you have and you go back in. And all of a sudden, he explodes something like this. I'm like, whoa, but he explodes with such incredible light, such incredible power. It's like this. John entered in through the very door. What's the first thing he saw? The Church of Philadelphia, the operation of it. He went through that open door. Your door. He said, the table I'm spreading is the same table wisdom. She's built her house. She's shewn out her seven pillars. She's killed her beast, her fatted calf. She's mingled her wine. Look, fatted calf, meat, wine, spirit, revelation, spirit. She's killed her beast, mingled her wine, furnished her table, sent for their maids. Come. Come to my table. Where's her table? In the top of the high places. She says, do you know who I'm calling to that table? She's calling. She's not calling anybody. She's calling four distinct groups of people. If you'll meditate chapter 8 and chapter 9, I promise you the whole thing is about kings, princes, nobles, and judges. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, nobles. Say, nobles. Nobles and judges, by me they rule, they reign, they function. And she calling, not a king in the earth, not a brilliant-minded Harvard grad. Some people like that, when you're Ivy League elite, I mean, you just grow up in that. You're already grown up for success. You have the connections. You have the education. You're going to have it. It's all going to be laid out for you on a silver platter. Amen? And then there's the rest of us. Even sometimes it feels like that in the kingdom. It's like all these promises. It's a good place to give you the kingdom. And like God said, this should be easy. I'm like, it's not that easy. But it's supposed to be. And we're preaching all this stuff. Because we want to function like heirs. Because something in us tells us we're supposed to function like heirs. We're not supposed to just do church. I can't tell you how many times I got to dial down my conversation when I talk to people. But you have to dial it back. I'm like, but do you really know what I am? But you can't tell people who you are in the Senate. Not when you're carrying stuff like this. But that was the cost. That's why a lot of people don't build, because people can't handle that. You don't see multitudes in the foundation. They're only going to come, even with the Lord. They weren't there to hear his mysteries. They were there to get the power on his life. They want to know how he multiplied that bread. They want to make him a king after he multiplied that bread. That's what they wanted. There's only a few could understand the mysteries of it. But the ones who understood the mystery ended up operating like him. And God is going to have a generation that's going to operate like this.
we are going to operate like this. Because we're not going to stop until we find out how it works. There is a door. I found the door. And beyond that door is the operation of time habitation, is the operation of omniscience, is the operation of omnipresent quantum gravity, is the operation we've been looking for. It's got to come by the supernatural. It's got to come by, not by might, not by power, but by my seven spirits. It's going to be with the eyes of the Lord, the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, with those seven eyes. You're not going to do it without. Wisdom's calling. When she called them to the table, she's calling the kings and the nobles and the judges and the princes. It's calling those, but they weren't kings in the earth. There were kings. Oh, you simple, come here and understand wisdom. I hate pride and arrogancy. That's not who I dwell with. I dwell with the simple. Come up here and I will show you how to be a king. I'll teach you from a heavenly perspective how to be a noble, how to rule and reign with me. Wisdom is going to call a whole generation. We know this because the elders were chanting in chapter 5 of Revelation, the kings and priests will now reign in the earth. She calls the church up through this door. And through this door, wisdom begins to adorn this church and teaches them how to be kings. How to rule, reign, and execute judgments in the earth. Isn't that glorious? She sits in the top of the high places. There is a door open to the church of Philadelphia. Come up hither. I possess the key to the house of David. And I'll open for you a realm. That's all I needed. Well, so you're operating in it? No, but I have the word now. You don't understand. When God gives you the word, that is your access. I'm going to hold that word, keep that word like we've held every other word. And we're going to find that door and we're going to start operating in this dimension. The Lord spoke to me, said a massive stronghold of mammon's going to come down to this operation. Amen. Isn't it glorious to be alive? There's a door already open to the church. He doesn't have to open it. You don't have to get him to open it. You don't have to bang it open. You don't have to shout at him, yell at him, cry, weep, throw yourself on the altar. It's already open. He set before the church of Philadelphia the open door. John went through it. First thing he saw was the operation of the church of Philadelphia.